2 Samuel chapter 16. We've got David going over Mount Olivet. He keeps running into people. All right, so we're in chapter 16 and verses 5 through 14 here, 5 through 14. And he runs into another individual named Shimei. All right, so here again, this is works out to be chiastic type structure here. So try to give it to you here on the board, then you can see it later as well. So A, B, C, B prime, A prime. All right. So here we have David. I'll abbreviate things here. So here we have David goes to this place, Bar-Hiram. All right, and likewise down here. Then we have Shimei. Shimei. He's casting stones at David. And then we have David's response. All right, so another type of biblical organization of the section here. Of course, the focus of this smaller section, of the bigger section, has to do with David's response to this attack upon him, which seems to be that that's what the Lord wants us to recognize here. How do we respond when people attack us? All right, so in this, we're looking at verses 5 through 14. So in review, we recall how David had to leave Jerusalem. He went down the slope of Mount Zion, crossed the Kidron Valley, and he went back up Mount Olivet. So that's about a half a mile distance in there. And he goes up to the top of Mount Olivet. And there, this is a place where he'd been praying. He'd prayed before and so on. He could oversee the city. And he went there to pray. And so while he's there, he runs into some different individuals here. He ran into Ittai. Remember him? So Ittai was a Canaanite, had 600 soldiers with him. Canaanite had no dog in this fight, you might say. He's a Canaanite. These are Jews fighting Jews. Absalom and David, this is the battle between them two. And so David says, you don't need to follow. You can stay back. It's not your fight, and so on. But he decided to identify with David anyway. That was Ittai. And he goes on a little further there, and he runs into Hushai. Hushai was certainly a friend and wanted to go with David. But David said, no, you're more valuable to me if you go back to Jerusalem and be with Absalom and become his advisor. And so this is what Hushai then decides to do. So Hushai was wanting to be a friend of David, and Hushai was actually a physical answer to prayer because David wanted Ahithophel, that's his grandfather-in-law, he wanted Ahithophel's counsel, which would be against David, to be brought at naught. And so the answer to prayer would be Hushai would go back and facilitate all of this. So then last time we saw, and he ran into Ziba. So Ziba was the servant of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was son of Jonathan, who's son of Saul. So Ziba wants to ensure his situation. Like all these men, they had to identify somehow. So how were they going to identify here? So the Canaanite Ittai, he decided to identify with David. Hushai wanted to identify with David. And Ziba, he doesn't know how this is going to go. So he's the servant of a descendant of Saul. So he thinks he's going to identify with Saul rather than David. Of course, Saul's been long dead. So here's some of the intrigue of all this. And so Ziba, however, gives one story of the scenario, saying Mephibosheth really had betrayed David. And so David takes his counsel on that. And that's why we learned why we have two ears. We have to hear both sides of the story. So remember that great thought? All right. So think about it for a while. But anyway. Then he runs into another individual. Now he's gone down Mount Olivet. He's going to a small little city. You can hardly find it on any map. And this is on his journey in the direction of Jericho, leaving Mount Olivet and going north, northeast, as it were. So this little town here, Bahurim, is about 4 miles northeast. So he's doing this during the night, and presumably as daybreak comes. And so he's runs into another individual here. So here we have the account of all this in chapter 16, verse 5. So here, this is the first section here, 5a. So your outline, this would be 5a here. So in verse 5a it says, "And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera." All right, so here we find details about him. He meets Shimei there at Bahurim. And he was of the house of Saul. That's important. So he's a descendant of Saul. Of course, Saul's kingdom has come and gone. The Lord took Saul's kingdom away from him because of his sin. And yet he's a descendant of the house of Saul. And so he's going to have a proclivity back in that direction. So everybody's trying to figure out, how do I fit in now with this civil war going on between Absalom and David? So am I going to line up with David, with Absalom, or even with the previous kingdom, Saul? How am I going to line up? And so whenever things occur, everybody says, first of all, how's this affecting me? Well, that's natural. Nothing wrong with that. But everybody's got a motive. Everybody's got an agenda. And their agenda is self-protection, and I want to go with the best scenario. But there's a lot unknown at this point. And so Shimei is of the house of David. So we see David's time there. He goes in this area of Bahurim, and he meets Shimei. All right, secondly, in the outline then, we see in 5b through 8, Shimei's cursing and casting. He's cursing and casting. Cursing words and casting stones. Actually throwing stones or rocks at David. So, first of all, we look here in 5b, Shimei. He came forth and cursed still as he came. So first of all, he was cursing. Shimei means has to do with the word name, and has to do probably with something like renown. But anyway, he's coming and he's cursing David. Now, David was a descendant of Abraham. And what does the Lord think about those who curse the descendant of Abraham? Well, in case you forgot, we can learn that, look there in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Genesis 12, 3. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abraham is the fork in the road. So your response to Abraham and his descendants is going to indicate your blessing or your cursing. That's pretty clear there. Notice a change of pronouns in that verse, by the way. "And I will bless them," that's plural. "And curse him," that's singular. So we're talking about a group a group that blesses or curses, and an individual that blesses or curses. So we got change in pronouns right there. So nobody's left out. From Abraham forward, everybody who's ever lived, they're in one of the two categories, either in the category of blessing Abraham or cursing Abraham. Abraham's the pivotal one relative to this. So David was in the lineage of Abraham, and here we have somebody cursing him. So how's that going to play out? Well, we're going to talk about how it plays out here. But he's cursing David as he came close to the town there, the village. So first of all, we look at the man here, Shimei. Secondly, we look at the missiles. What missiles was he throwing? What missile was he throwing? Let's put it that way. One missile was a rock. The other missile was a rib. He was ribbing him. All right, so he got you 2 hours there. But he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David. So here he's throwing curses and stones at David. You see the missiles here. Now the scripture as well indicates in Exodus chapter 22. Exodus chapter 22:28. So King Saul, remember, he was to write down his own book of the Torah. Remember, that was one of the kings. We're not sure if he did that or not, but then he would know what he wrote down, and then his descendants would know, theoretically. But here in Exodus chapter 22:28, thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people. So here's a prohibition about cursing the ruler of people. All right, so this was a violation. Whether Shimei knew it or not, he's still violating the law. Follow that? And then not only the man, the missiles, and then the message here in these verses, verse 6, let's look there. And cast stones at David, and that's servants of King David, and all the people, and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. So David had a group of soldiers around him. These were his right men, or his warriors, who were around him, protecting him, if necessary, from the stones. So David had these men around him and protecting him. We could look at a psalm here, Psalm 16:8. David wrote this psalm, by the way. Says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. So here David took that literally as well. He put his soldiers on his right hand and on his left hand, and he was protected by the Lord through the soldiers from the stones that Shimei threw. All right, then his message, so Shimei's message here, he goes on to say, and thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. So he charged him with being bloody and being a Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned, and the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in this thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. He starts off bloody man, that's in verse 7. Ends up with bloody man, in tail end of verse 8. So couched between bloody man and bloody man, he was a Belial, or a servant of the devil. And he is the one that destroyed Saul's kingdom. That is an absolute lie. David never destroyed Saul's kingdom. So here's a lie leveled at him. A lie leveled at him. So David was not a bloody man in the sense of hurting Saul. In fact, numerous times when he wanted to spare Saul's life. Remember that? So when he was in a cave with his men, and Saul came into the cave and so on, and his men said, "Kill him." And David said, "No, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed." And that happened several times. So David was not guilty of blood relative to the house of Saul. He did not take over by intrigue or anything like that, the kingdom. The Lord took the kingdom from Saul and gave it to David. So David was completely innocent of the charge. Now, David was guilty of bloodshed, to be sure, but not with regard to the house of Saul. So here is taking where he took a truth, that is, Shimei took a truth, but then he twisted and perverted the truth with regard to David. So was David a bloody man or not? Yes, he was a bloody man. And that's why he couldn't even build the temple, because he's a bloody man. But he wasn't guilty of the blood of the house of Saul. So there's a truth that's been perverted and twisted, leveled at David. And so that's the way the world works today as well. They see some defect in you, and they'll charge you with the defect, whether it really relates to their situation or not. It's just easy pickings, you might say, on all of that. So, in fact, if you look back there in 2 Samuel chapter 3, 28, when we have Abner comes in, and Joab kills Abner, remember that, 327? And David said in verse 28, "And afterward, when David heard it, he said, 'I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner, the son of Ner.'" So this was not David's plan for Joab to kill him. So David was innocent of some blood. And certainly innocent of the blood of Saul and his household. In fact, we find out in 2 Samuel chapter 21, 2 Samuel chapter 21, notice what the commentary says here in 21:1, 2 Samuel 21:1, "Then there was a famine in the days of David, 3 years, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, 'It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites.'" So Saul was guilty of bloodshed. So here is the confusion that Shimei knows of, no doubt, but he's trying to pervert everything. Saul is guilty of bloodshed, and the Lord removed the kingdom from him. David is not guilty of bloodshed on the house of Saul, and yet this is the charge that's being thrown at him. So we see how the world works here, how Shimei was working and dealing with all this. So Shimei demonstrated great hatred for David, and he demonstrated it both vocally and with words. And so he cursed David at this point, charged him with all of this. So that's Shimei's cursing and casting. Then David's response in 9 through 12. All right, David's response. So David realizes, yes, the Lord is chastening me because I committed adultery and murdered. He's chastening me on this point. I realize that. Yet the Lord has also promised me a dynasty. And the dynasty would come from one of my sons whom the Lord would appoint, not who man appoints. So David had these promises to go on. So we notice here in 9 through 12, then Abishai, the son of Zariah, so Zariah was one of David's sisters. So this is one of David's nephews here, said unto the king, "Why should this dead dog," so that's strong language. Word behind dog, there's Caleb. But anyway, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. So this is the way you deal with problems. It's the way you deal with problems. So, in fact, let's look back there. First Samuel, chapter 26. So here, 1 Samuel chapter 26, here's Abishai showing up again. He's David's problem solver. So 26:8, then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. So I'll have one shot, and I'll kill him. So here, Abishai just has a warm spear. I mean, it's ready to go. Who's next? I mean, I just want to throw this at somebody. Cross me one time, and you're done for. And I won't miss. I mean, so this is Abishai. So any of David's enemies show up. This is the nephew of David, of course, and so on. And then later on in 2 Samuel chapter 19, we see Abishai comes to the scene once again. And in verse 21, 2 Samuel 19:21, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed? So here again, he wants to put him to death. So, Shimei, he's ready with his sword or his spear. All right, so this is what he says to David. It'd be easy just to throw a spear right through him. He's throwing rocks here. I can throw the spear farther than he can throw rocks, and I'll hit him, nail him one time, and he's done. So David's response, so here we see, first of all, the defense of David. That's kill the enemy. Secondly, the denial by David. Verse 16, and the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Uriah? So there are several sons of Zeruiah, and they were all like Abishai here. So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? Who shall say, wherefore hast thou done so? He's indicating, the Lord has permitted this happening to me. The Lord's permitted it. I need this. It's untrue, but I need this. In other words, I need an untrue accusation leveled at me, because I deserve this. I don't deserve any good. I deserve this. We all deserve the worst. And so that's the way David's looking at this. Yes, I'm under the judgment of God. Now, he's made me some promises, but nevertheless, I'm still under the judgment of God. And so the Lord's behind us. He's allowed that. Now, this is an interesting way to look at the injustices of the world that are leveled at us. It's not, God, why did you allow injustice coming to me? Because I'm a saint of God. I don't deserve this. Yeah, we deserve the worst. But if we get caught in our pride, I don't deserve lies leveled at me. Really, why not? You liar. you with an old nature. Oh, have you stopped lying since you've been saved? Oh, you haven't. Okay. Yeah, put your hand down back there. All right. So... anyway, this is David's attitude. You see, so we see some great strengths in David. And, of course, these come out as he pours out his heart in the Psalms. We see these great strengths in David. And so we see the defense of David. Abishai says, just kill him. David denies that. And then David goes on to say... in verse 11, and David said to Abishai and to all his servants, "Behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjaminite do it? Let him alone, let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him." In other words, David is thinking, I'm not interested in Shimei. I could care less about Shimei. I'm interested in Solomon, who wants to kill me, for sure. And he's come out of my bowels. Why should I be interested in Shimei? The Lord's brought this little taunt in my life. Let him alone. I've got bigger issues than Shimei. Besides that, David had his military men around him, so they'd all be stoned before David ever would. Shimei was too far away, or he didn't know how to throw a rock, or he wasn't really trying to get the rock there. But nevertheless, he's demonstrating his hatred for David. But David's response here is, my battle in life is not Shimei. Right now, it's Absalom. See, so he had a priority. What's really the big issues against me versus these little things out here that just get me upset, but I can't be upset. And so the Lord is using all this. The Lord is using all this. So then he goes on to say in verse 12 here, "It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day." In other words, the Lord may turn this around in time, but obviously the Lord has allowed it. And I'm not going to retaliate this way. So David brings in the truth of Psalm 26. Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. Solomon wrote this. Proverbs 26 is the fool's psalm. Deals with the fool numerous times here. But notice 26:2. "As the bird by wandering and the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come." So the curse causeless. So the curse cause shall come. In other words, there's a plan here. Lord orchestrates everything. He orchestrates the birds, but he also orchestrates the curses that come. So the curse causeless shall not come. The Lord will allow lies to be leveled against his people on purpose to see how they respond. The person who's lying about us when it comes down with regard to the Lord, it's not that person, it's us. How do we respond? The Lord wants to know how we respond against mischaracterizations and so on. Not how, they're lying. We can't help that, but we can help our heart. We can help our heart when these things come. And so David recognized that. David deserved the worst of the worst. David deserved to be killed because he committed adultery and murder. David deserved to have his house rocked hard by not only Shimei, but anyone else, but by the Lord. He also deserved to have lies thrown at him. We're not above that. The Lord Jesus was lied about, right? The false witnesses came in. This is the expectation of a believer's life, not the something unusual has happened. And so here we see David is responding as a mature believer at this point. So the Lord puts him through all this. But you see, I think we could see when David comes out of this, when David comes out of this, he could look back and say, you know who helped me? You know who helped me become more mature in the Lord? Shimei and Absalom. Because if I didn't have them, I'd still be a baby back here spiritually. But I had to grow up. And so we can look in our own lives and look around and who has caused me real problems? I wish they hadn't have done that. No, The Lord allowed that so you can grow up in the problems and become a mature believer. We never had anybody that didn't like us, any opposition, anybody. We never had anybody lied about us, and we found out about. We would be babes in Christ and never grow. The Lord wants us to grow, so He brings these things on. David recognized that. See, he recognized that. All right. So anyway, David's response. You don't cut off the head of all bad people. And sometimes we might think that. All these idiot drivers around you that, we, in our driving back here, I mean, the people must have been having speed races. I mean, they go around 100 miles an hour, you know. And, you know, I was going 95, but they went around 100 and no women. But they sped around me. And, you know, I have to think, I don't want to cut their head off. I don't want to cut their head off. All right. But anyway, I'm just trying to make this real. You understand? I make an application here. You follow that? The theoretical application out there. So David's response. Next, we go back to verse 13. More of Shimei's cursing and casting. And 13, and David and his men went by the way. Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. I mean, not only stones, but now dust or dirt. He's throwing dirt his way. Actually, the Hebrew expression there is he was dirtying himself with dirt. So we got the verb and the noun. He was dirtying himself with dirt and throwing dirt up in the air, throwing stones. This just showed his anger, the great anger he had, throwing dirt up, throwing stones, cursing him and so on, upset with David. And so we're back to Shimei is cursing, is casting, and his missiles again, and his message. So in this case, it becomes very clear that in verse 13, that he cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. So here we see his great hatred. Now the Lord in the New Testament talked about this in Matthew chapter 5. So let's look there, Matthew chapter 5. You have heard that it was said by them, 5:21 of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fired. So, excuse me. Anyway, we see in his heart, Shimei demonstrated that his heart was a murderous one. He wanted to kill David. All right, then finally we have David at the Bahurim once again. And in verse 14, and the king and all the people that were with him came weary. So that was a long night trek over the mountain and then down and then 4 miles into Bahurim. And a long night trip there, going into early morning, no doubt. And they refreshed themselves there. So they got through that long night when they had to leave Jerusalem. And so David is with these individuals. They all were united over the stress that David was going through. They were united together. And so we have the focus here is on David's response. So he goes to Bahurim. Shimei shows up, casts stones, makes... throws charges at him, lies at him, so on. David responds properly here as a believer. Shimei has more cursing and casting than we have him. David concluding things here at Bahurim. So we see the focus of all this. And like I said, in this chiliastic outline that the text gives us here, the focus is on David's response. So we need to say, what is my response going to be when at work, for instance, other people lie about me to the boss? What's my response going to be? So Even though David was guilty and deserved some of this, he did not bring on the fall of Saul's kingdom. So these are false charges we see. And so we can learn from David, the life of David, and the many strong points that David had, especially in times of duress and difficulty. So we can make the application of our lives as well. Our Father, we pray that you bless us now. We thank you for the time we've had to open the Word of God. We thank you for the life of David, the many things we can learn from him. And pray that as we learn the truths now, we'll be challenged with them. That we respond like David. Pray that you bless each one now. We ask for, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.